Chapter 2 Rendezvous with Cully. As the neural playback came to an end, sound, vision, the scent of unknown flowers, and the gentle touch of the wind on his decades younger skin faded, and Captain Singh was back in his cabin aboard the space tug Goliath, while Toby and his mother remained on a world he could never revisit. Years in space, and neglect of the mandatory zero-G exercises, had so weakened him that he could now walk only on the moon and Mars. Gravity had exiled him from the planet of his birth. 1 hour to rendezvous, Captain, said the quiet but insistent voice of David, as Goliath's central computer had been inevitably named. Active mode as requested. Time to leave your memno chips and come back to the real world. Goliath's human commander felt a wave of sadness sweep over him, as the final image from his lost past dissolved into a featureless, simmering mist of white noise. Too swift a transition from one reality to another was a good recipe for schizophrenia, and Captain Singh always eased the shock with the most soothing sound he knew, waves falling gently on a beach, with seagulls crying in the distance. It was yet another memory of a life he had lost, and of a peaceful past, now replaced by a terrifying present. For a few more moments, he delayed facing his awesome responsibility. Then he sighed, and removed the neural input cap that fitted snugly over his skull. Like all spacers, Captain Singh belonged to the bald-is-beautiful school, if only because hairpieces were a nuisance in zero gravity. The social historians were still staggered by the fact that one invention, the portable brain man, could change the appearance of the human race within a single decade and restore the ancient art of wig-making to the status of a major industry. Captain, said David, I know you're there, or do you want me to take over? It was an old joke inspired by all the insane computers in the fiction and movies of the early electronic age. David had a surprisingly good sense of humor. He was, after all, a legal person, non-human, under the famous 100th Amendment, and shared or surpassed almost all the attributes of his creators. But there were whole sensory and emotional areas that he could not enter. It had been felt unnecessary to equip him with the senses of smell and taste, though it would have been easy to do so. And all his attempts at telling dirty stories were such disastrous failures that he had abandoned the genre. All right, David, retorted the captain. I'm still in charge. He removed the mask from his eyes, wiped away the tears that had somehow accumulated, and turned reluctantly toward the viewport. There, hanging in space before him, was Kali. It looked harmless enough. Just another small asteroid, shaped so exactly like a peanut that the resemblance was almost comical. A few large impact craters and hundreds of tiny ones were scattered at random over its charcoal-black surface. There were no visual clues to give any sense of scale, but Singh knew its dimensions by heart. 1,295 meters maximum length, 656 meters minimum width. Kali would fit easily into many city parks. No wonder that even now most of mankind could still not believe that it was the instrument of doom, or, as the Chrislamic fundamentalists were calling it, the hammer of God.